Episode 3 of The Last of Us, Justin. I watched it. You watched it today. I watched it. I stayed up late last night because I was like, oh, I gotta watch this show. And I know, and I can't miss it because I knew we were gonna talk about it.
Yeah.
What is it called?
It is called, I'll find it. It's The Path.
The Path. So in this episode, they are mourning Jill's death, and spoilers, by the way, for the game and the show at the same time. They're mourning Jill's death. Ellie and Dina make the plan that they're going to fucking leave. And then it ends with them getting to Seattle. Overall, what are your thoughts on this episode, Justin?
I think it did something that could not have been done in the game, because it's a game that is a combat game, that they were able to actually show time between Ellie leaving and Joel dying and Ellie leaving and the mourning process of everyone better than they did in the game. From a town's perspective.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So let me just get ahead of this right now. I think this is the best episode of the show so far. I don't love it, but I still think it's the best that they've done. And the reason I don't love it is because of choices that were made, but I respect the choices.
I was also going to say, there's the same thing I've been saying every episode. Choices have been made, but I'm going to wait to tell you what I think of them necessarily, because where is it going? It will kind of impact a lot of this stuff.
100%. This was the first episode where I was like, I see that you're doing something here. I largely like how it's done in the game better, but I don't think that this version is bad. And there were some scenes that I even thought that I liked more.
I texted you this.
Yeah. I texted you this last night when I was watching it, because I assumed you had watched it. Forgot that you were out of town. And I was like, fucking killer opening scene with Tommy coming in and starting to wash up his body. And it's just, I'm forgetting, Diego Luna. Nope. That's the guy from Andor. The actor who plays Tommy. I was like, damn, you got some fucking chops, man. Giving a very, very good performance here. I liked that quite a bit.
Gabrielle Luna is the name. Gabrielle Luna.
What's his name? Oh, Gabrielle Luna. So same last name. All right. So I wasn't totally up.
No, you're fine.
And I liked the scene, not better, but, equally, of Ellie visiting the grave and her leaving the little coffee beans there. It made me audibly go, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked that.
I thought it was shot pretty beautifully too. Like that specific
scene. Oh,
like
yes,
It felt like a good way for us, the viewer, to kind of like put it to bed, this relationship, which is kind of cool that the Joel thing happens both in the game and in the movie, TV show, so early, because it, before the end of the game, you're able to sort of mourn the loss in the game as you're playing it while still feeling unresolved at the same time. If that, you know, like you're.
Yeah. So this is where I start to have issues with the show, in that what I think is the whole point of the game is that she has not accepted it and she has not moved on. I think that is very clear. Would you agree that that's like the point of the game, is that she kind of is like trying to kill herself. You know what I mean? By like in a blaze of glory almost.
I don't disagree with you in terms of like, it's like, she's not over it. I don't think her goal is to kill herself.
I think that's my interpretation of the game.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's like, this is a bad situation or anything like that, but I don't think her goal is like, I'm so angry, I'm going to kill myself. She is like, I'm going to like destroy everything. And I don't care what happens to me or anyone else. I'm going to destroy everything. But
not specifically she wants to kill herself, that is the idea of like, I'm going to ruin everything. Like I'm going to wreck everything I possibly can.
Yeah.
And I don't get that vibe from the show at all. This is again, like, just like, I just don't love the performance from Bella Ramsey. I don't think there's a lot of nuance there. And I think that for me, she's like, the reason when Ellie leaves in the game, she like, it feels like it's an impulse decision. Do you know what I mean? And it feels like she's just still so super not over it. And it's fine that it is more calculated in the show, but it to me, it lacks the, it's concerning when she leaves, when they go to Seattle in the game, because it's like, is this a good idea? Whereas in this, it feels a little bit less concerning because you have a lot of people telling her that she's right.
I would, when you say it feels more calculated in the show, can you tell me when you feel like it feels more calculated a little bit? And from Ellie's perspective, when do you think she's planning on leaving?
Well, I mean, she says she would have left right away.
Right. Okay.
But like, it feels a little bit less, it feels a little bit more like she is leaving having accepted his death. Where in the show, whereas in the game, it feels like she's leaving so she can process his death. And because she doesn't know how to process and accept his death. Because it just happens much quicker. And this is the thing that, this is what I mentioned at the top of this episode, like, that is a choice. I respect the choice because it's just going for a different thing, but I think I just prefer how it is in the game.
I don't know if she's accepted his death in this game. In the show.
Literally all these episodes are just like us saying the wrong word. It's fine. I know what you mean.
I guess if I'm going to talk about the issue that I kind of have is that, well, not issue, the choice that was confusing to me is she's not angry in this episode to the way that I would expect her to be.
That's where I'm at too.
Yeah.
Where like I've not gotten that she is, of course she's upset. She goes in the house and she cries and whatever. And she, you know, she wakes up screaming and whatever in the hospital, all that. That's all good. That's all fine. But like, to me, there's just this like acceptance that I feel from her, not this like empty rage or like empty sort of like I fucked everything up feeling.
And I think the acceptance comes in the fact that she's going to go and kill him no matter what. Like this has been for her. I think part of what they're doing in the show is this premeditated, right? Like this is something that's going to happen. Like she knows it's going to happen. The interesting thing they do though, that kind of changes this, but I don't disagree with the choice, was waiting 3 months. Cause that's not one of the impacts of the game. I mean, we don't necessarily know how long it was, but like, I think
you get the feeling it's like a week,
but
or
also
so,
like when she's talking to Tommy, they're both still like clearly like beat up from the thing and stuff like that. They have not healed any of that kind of stuff. This one, it's kind of like that initial anger of her leaving, I think we don't see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's just not in there. And then she's already like been numb to it. Like I'm going to fucking kill everyone. And it's not like, I'm going to kill everyone. They are going to die.
Yeah.
You coming? And I think
it feels, go ahead.
But then I think they make some interesting choices too with her and even how they're framing this too. I think and again, I don't know if these are good or bad choices yet, but they're definitely choices that they're making. The whole therapist thing is interesting because the therapist, you don't like it?
I hate it. I hate it, but I want to hear what you like about it.
The therapist thing is interesting because she's such a bad therapist. And I think that's kind of the point The whole point of this is like some people are not worth saving. That's what she says.
Yes.
She's kind of like internalizing the fact that Ellie's this thing that no matter what's going to happen, you're kind of fucked. Like she's just a bad person, a bad egg. She even sets up the whole thing about her and Joel. Like Joel didn't rub off on her. She sets it up that they were two people who were on the same path with each other. But that's not true. And you know that's not true, right?
I know that that's not true in the game.
But that's also not true in this, because what's going to happen at the end of this? The same plot part has to happen at the end of this when she doesn't kill Abby, right? Who stops her? In both the game and, I would assume, in the TV show.
Yes, but the difference is... keep talking.
I think they're going with the same thing there, but I think they are trying to verbalize it so there is some point for her character to be, I don't want to say redeemed in the end, because she ends up in a shitty place at the end of this, but I still think the ending of The Last of Us Part 2, and we've debated about this before, I think it's a positive ending, but a very bleak ending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel a similar way where it's not like happy, but it is like almost hopeful.
Like her whole world is burned down and everything like that, but she's walking towards the next thing.
To me, the ending of that game is very much like she has lost so much of her humanity, but she decides that she can't let it be lose her all of her.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. But I think that's what they're going to be going to with the therapist thing, because I think that it, like, she is, again, she's a bad therapist, and I don't think she's a good therapist, and I don't think she's supposed to be portrayed as a good therapist, because she literally talks about, I need to talk to another therapist, but all I do is smoke pot and drink. How is she going to be able to process any of this stuff healthy? And she's clearly projecting. She projected on Joel in his therapy session, and she clearly is like, fuck you, Ellie, you're a lost cause. So, again, it's a choice that they're making, and I agree with you if at the end of it, it's like she's just this animal that can't be contained at the end of it. I think that's going to be like, well, that's shitty, right, if that's how they go with it. But I think the whole point is that she is going to start to, in the season, become that monster. And then by the end of the season three, she will, again, not be redeemed, but it's going to be one of those things where she has to come to that realization, what she's doing, and she cannot lose everything. And I think one of the best parts about the game, too, is when you're having that confrontation with Abby. It's the point where she's basically letting her go to the boat, and then she gets that like little like flash
like, I gotta do it.
Of Joel, yeah. Like him there, and then she just is like, fuck this, and like goes to kill her at that point. And then I forget what happens to her when she stops. Oh, it's him on the porch, right, with the guitar. Yeah. She has that moment of him, so he both made her be like wanting to kill her, but at the same time, the memory of him, not the last moment, the memory of him in a good moment is what stops her from doing it. And I think that's, they're building towards that theme. And again, as you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with this, they're not very as subtle as they are sometimes in the video game. I think they're
that's my problem is like this show thinks you're stupid. And like I can talk about two points in this one that it's like it thinks you're dumb, and it's the therapist where like Tommy lays out what the show is about, or like what the second game is about, where he's like, he like very eloquently puts it. He's like, you know, I'm kind of worried that like, you know, by being her surrogate father, Joel kind of rubbed off on Ellie in a way that makes her into kind of a monster in the same way that my brother was kind of a monster. And it's like, yeah, that's what it's about, you know, but like the game didn't have to say that. It just made you like come to that conclusion yourself, you know? And I think that you're right about like, it really depends on where this all goes about like her, the therapist saying like, well, she's just a bad egg and she's always been bad and she's always been shitty. And that it's not that Joel rubbed off on her, but that she's been terrible from the start. But what my problem is with that sentiment is that I know that the intention is for us to think that, because that's what they said in the first season. Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the intention of the creator, and you know, it's that thing about like, well, we're just fucking hearing from the creators every single episode. And so like, if we didn't hear that, would I feel the same way? If, even if like the text says that that's not what happens, you know, come the ending. But like, to me, I'm like, well, I know that the creator thinks that Ellie is a bad person from the start, and that she is just like Joel, and not that he teaches her to be like him, which I like just fully fundamentally disagree with.
I think, but I think there's a difference. And again, I'd have to hear exactly what Craig said about that to know for sure. But my context is that she came to him already in a place being broken, because I think they even hit it again with the fact that she had to kill, what's her face? Her first
girl,
death.
Yeah.
Her, Riley. Riley.
She mentioned Riley. She's like, it's too fucked up. I don't want to talk about it.
And I think it's more so like that thing fucks her up. Like that's the thing she should be talking about at the therapist. That's the thing that like set her down this path of anger and destruction. And like, can you imagine what, like, I can't put myself in that place. How much that had to fuck her up as a person, that was not only the first person she had to kill, it was someone that she had a relationship with, someone that she was expecting to die with, and then she wasn't dying with it. And then she probably, in the most cowardice way possible, killed her so she wouldn't die herself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that has to put you in this really messed up place, and that has to make you unhappy and angry and pissed off. And then she meets Joel, and Joel in the first game ignites that in her and makes her feel like, fuels her to a place where she wants to kill people and like feels like she becomes this weapon. But then the Joel in this season or this part two, he is someone who has found what he wants in life and has found this happy place. And his happy place is just not just Jackson. It's kind of being that father that he wanted to be. And I think that's still selfish. And you could still talk about, like, it's a selfish thing that he does at the end of the game. It's a selfish thing that he's using Ellie to be this surrogate daughter to make himself feel whole and happy. And it's even a little bit more icky in the show because he seems to have a closer relationship with Dina too at that, like, throughout in this, in the, show than he did in the video game. So like, he's just looking for these, like, you know, like these children to fill this hole in his heart or whatever, but he still found happiness and he's found his happy place. You go around his house, you see his hobbies. He can be himself again. He can be back to what he is. And I think at the end of it, the thing that rubs off on Ellie from this season of, or this part two, is that there is life after all the bad. You are not going to be like this forever. You are going to be able to go back and like find yourself again. And you don't have to have my hobbies. You don't have to like coffee. You can't play guitar anymore. You, though, have to find out what you are, Ellie. And that's what Joel had done in this thing that I think they're building towards that. Yeah, he did rub off on her differently now. And now that she's experienced the same hate and anger that he did, it's her job in the third part that will never come out for her to find her Ellie.
I agree with you that that is the, that that's like the, I agree that I have your interpretation of the story of these games. I think that the show though, it's fine. Like it, they are doing it differently and that's okay, but I think they're doing it in a way that is just less interesting. So what I think is interesting about The Last of Us, and we've talked about this, is that in the first game you have this kid who has been through some horrible stuff, right? But at the end of the day, they still do have this life to them and this humanity to them that changes Joel as a person, right? Because Joel at the beginning of the game does not give a fuck about her. And if it were, if he were placed in the situation he's in at the end, an hour after meeting her, he would have not done the same thing that he does at the end. And so that is the first game is about how she rubs off on him, right? And then the second game is about how he rubbed off on her. And then, but it's exactly what you say about how at the end she does have that, those thoughts of like, but that wasn't all he was. He wasn't just, you know, symbolically this person who deserved to die the worst death imaginable. He was also, he was really complicated. And there was humanity to him that he was able to regain in being a father and being a part of this community. And then that's what is good, right? And then that's what redeems her at the end. However much you can be redeemed from the thing she's done. So I completely agree with you. But to me, what I don't like about the show is that it is missing that first part of Ellie redeeming Joel and of her being this kid who helps him see a new way, because turns out she was just a bad egg from the start. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, of course that the events of like the Left Behind stuff, like are traumatic and horrible and would change anyone into being some terrible monster. Right. Like I do get that. However, like I just find it to be a lot less interesting for her to have just always been this terrible person for, you know, 20 years of her life or however old she is. And then she just gets to the end and automatically, and not automatically, but like realizes like, oh no, well, Joel was kind of complicated too.
When you say, you know what I mean? When like, you say 20 years, like they bring up nature versus nurture to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But like, I think the argument for this is that it's nurture, not nature. Are you saying that it's nature or nurture?
I'm saying it's nurture.
Okay. Okay.
And
so
the show is saying it's nature.
No, I don't believe that's true. You're taking the therapist words at face value, but she's a liar, capital L.
I don't know. I don't think so. Not based on how she was portrayed in the first season. I would not say that the therapist is lying.
No, I think they set her up because the only difference between what you're saying and what I'm saying is that she wasn't born fucked up. She became fucked up with the left behind moment and growing up in this world and then having to kill stuff. And then her other first kill, which also bothered her in a way that I didn't. Did they ever bring that conversation up in the game part two?
I just got to that part. Oh, in part two, they do, but I don't remember. It's different. It's when they're in the weed place.
Okay, because she says that like it was the person who was like this almost like my
her age or something.
Yeah, does she say it in the game too?
No, I don't think because so. It's just some guy.
I think that's a similarly traumatic thing for her to say. And yeah, she kind of like dismissed it that it was kind of fucked up. But like, I think it hits her in a. It still lingers with her negatively. In the show, she looked fucked up when she did it. In the whole thing. And then, speaking of Joel rubbing off on her, it's like that like thing. They start off on different points, and then they kind of meet in the middle. And that moment where she kills David.
Yeah.
When she kills David, she is full just beast at that point, which makes sense. I mean, she was almost like raped and eaten and all these complicated things, like her, like this just kind of like feral response to that comes out. And then Joel sees someone, a daughter hurt that he can save. And then he saves her in that moment. And that's where their stories, their paths kind of change at that point. One goes that's where she starts to become this more like really just rage filled, brutal person. And then he starts to go down the path to being a redeemed human.
I see. I have a different interpretation. I don't think you're wrong, but like, I don't find her killing him to be this rageful thing. I find it to be a scared kid defending themselves. You know what I mean? And then Joel shows up and he, go ahead.
You know, sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I just don't find her to be have killed. Like, her killing him was not wrong. It was not vengeful. It was not rageful, at least in the game. But she didn't take joy in it. She was a child fighting for her life. And when Joel shows up, she's deeply, deeply affected and afraid. Right. But like, that's what the heart of it is, the trauma of that. And the trauma is the fear of all of the things that he was going to do to her. Whereas I find that in the show that she is a lot more sinister. And I think it's kind of your interpretation of it as well, which is fine. I just don't like the interpretation you know what I mean? Like it's just something that I just don't really like, is this idea that she wanted to kill him versus she was an afraid child who did what she had to do to get out of a situation.
But when I'm saying she wanted to kill him, it's not like a premeditated thing. Like that was that's the way out of it. Like that's the only thing that like you can do at that point is to stop this man. Like there's no other way. Like in that moment, he's hunting her down and she had to do something. And it becomes out this like incredibly brutal and violent thing that she does. But like, that's what she has to do. She has no other option. Like, what is her option?
No, I agree.
Right.
But so, like, it's the intention that I think we're not aligned on. We're like, for me, the intention is a survival, I need to escape thing. I'm a frightened child. Whereas it sounds like for you that it is I need to get my rage out.
No, it's not that she has to get her rage out. It's like that's what she like. That is like you become to this point where you are like broken down to like being almost like an animal, because your first and only thing is to like survive and to do anything you need to do to survive. And she does that in both of those cases. And like, it is something that it's not just the like kills them and isn't affected by it. Like all of this stuff bubbles out of her when she's doing that, because she doesn't just hit him once, right? She is going at him, right? Why does she keep going at him?
I think to make sure that he is dead, right? Like,
I mean, because it's like when someone like they shoot someone like a bunch, or like they keep hitting someone, it's because they are like, they're so like not in control of themselves and everything like that. Like you are going to pummel them until they are just gone. Or like, you're going to make sure and keep going and going and going and going and going and going. It's like this, like, again, I keep going back to this like completely animalistic thing that happens to you at that point, because like there is no logic to what's happening there. Right. Like survival is thing number one. This man is going to kill and probably eat you if you don't stop it. If that's even it. And like, that was what happened. And like, to not only do something like that, but to be in that fucked up situation and see this fucked up thing happen. And she was already emotionally fucked up because Joel wasn't there. And then having this moment where the thing that brings her out of it is Joel.
Mm-hmm.
where did she learn that kind of response and that negative response from? I would assume from Joel and seeing how he did things, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. And I think for me, it is about like, I think the place where we differ with all of this is how she internalizes and responds to those things. Cause I completely agree with you about like why it happens the way it happens, but it's about, and like same thing with like, with Riley and in the Left Behind stuff, like, of course that's horrible and traumatic and all that stuff. But to me, it's about how she reacts to that and how that is portrayed through the performance of Ellie. And I just don't particularly like Bella Ramsey's portrayal of it. I just find it less nuanced. And it sounds like from what it sounds like, the direction is a lot more straightforward and less nuanced.
I would argue, though, that the portrayal of Ellie in the original game, at times, she almost feels a little too carefree at the beginning, considering what happened and Left Behind. And I wonder, not carefree, too much, too like fun.
When's the last time you played it?
What?
When's the last time you played it?
When the other one came out.
Okay, so it's been a while. I would disagree. I think that she is a. I know what you mean, but I would say that like she comes across like she's having a whirlwind of
like a lot of emotion. Stuff happening and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that it's kind of this thing where like when she gets the chance to sit down and think about it, she is upset. But when it is like when it's go time, it's just we gotta go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's my interpretation.
But I think part of it too in my brain is I wonder like when Left Behind came into their minds with her and when her backstory kind of came in mind to her, like how did they process all that stuff chronologically in their heads?
Yeah, I think it is alluded to in the game, if my memory serves.
And it was like a pretty quick after DLC, correct?
It was like the next year. Yeah.
But anyway, so like, I don't know. I do not think, going back to this episode, I do not think them having the therapist be there and saying that means that's what they are saying is going to happen to Ellie or that she was born bad. They bring that up there because that's going to be a counterpoint later on because it's not the fact that she's bad and has no way to redeem herself. Because technically, to me in the video game, part two,
yeah,
her redemption... It would just stupid as fuck. I mean, not stupid as fuck. Her redemption is not killing Abby.
Yeah.
Right? Is that, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So I think that idea that she has done a lot of bad things and she's about to do a lot of bad things in this series. She has to, right? Like,
yeah.
Right? Like the way she murders people and stuff like that. Like she's going to do bad things and murder people. But like by the end of it, she's not going to just murder Abby. And if they do, that would be a change that they're not. I would not.
Crazy.
How they've been going, the message. Like that's the ending point of the series, or I guess the series. So with that in mind, she is going to be redeemed. And that's why I believe the therapist is there as a bad therapist. Because also, what the fuck? She goes to Ellie and brings that up to her.
That's why, like, my problem with her character is she's a bad guy. There's so many problems I have with it. The first thing is like, it feels like they didn't know how to write nuanced dialogue, so they were like, well, let's just make the character say exactly what they're feeling. It's like, okay,
yeah.
And then also like, yeah, I get that she's a bad therapist, but could she be like less of a cartoon? Do you know what I mean? Like less of a cartoon of a bad therapist, like to the point where like Joel is like telling her like, you're a bad therapist, aren't you? And she's like, yeah. And then like Tommy sits down with her and she's like, I'm a bad fucking therapist. What do you want from me? I'm drunk. This is so funny. And it's like, okay, I get it.
Well, I would say I don't think it's played for laughter. I think to me in this episode, it played off way more as being fucked up that she was like that.
Not laughter is the wrong word.
It's like light, like not light, like
it's like there's like so many like this is just like a very common thing in culture and like whatever, where it's just like, oh, alcoholism is like funny. Haha, she just drinks so much. And it's like, cool.
Awesome. I honestly am interested to see, again, choices are made. What is that episode going to be like with Eugene?
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that will do a lot of things to maybe inform her character. But I think her character is a bad person.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that her saying that is not what they believe is going to end in the series.
We have to see.
Yeah.
I probably agree with you, but I still just don't like this character. I don't think she adds anything. I think, in fact, she just like actively takes stuff away. That said, if I may sing the praises of this episode for 1 second, because I did say that I think it's the best episode so far. It has all the same problems that I think the rest of it has, where I just think it like is way too on the nose with all of its messaging and stuff like that. Or like this stuff with the Seraphites, I think sucked, where it's just like, you know, this completely unrelated scene of them like leaving. And it's like, hey, Dad, can you explain our culture to me? Mm. And it's like, sure, whatever. I just think it's too on the nose. And I think it would have been better if they had just found them and been like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Because that's kind of how it is in the game. What I appreciate is like they show up to Seattle and they're kind of like way in over their heads and they have no idea why. Because they're like, there's a fucking war? Like what? Like I would like that, because it makes Ellie and Dina feel like a very small part of what's going on. And they just kind of like show up and they're like, I have no fucking clue what's happening here. We just got to do our thing and get out. Yeah. I like that. Whatever. In the show, I think it's clunky. Who cares? But I do appreciate the way that this show takes moments from the game and interprets it for television. I appreciate that they have these scenes where they're camping and it's cute and they're having this scene instead of them. I don't remember where they have these specific conversations about like the kiss and all that sort of stuff, but like
you're walking around, I think like it's probably, it's probably any of that open world area.
Yes. This is what I'm talking about when I'm like, how do you take these moments that are like just like downtime with characters and put it into a TV show? And you ask me like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't make screenplays or whatever. This is great. That scene is great. I also appreciate them, like, in the game, they find, like, a horse or something that's been killed. Or they find, like, a big animal that's been killed. And that's what sort of, like, sets Dina off. And she's, like, throwing up and stuff like that. And then later we find out, like, oh, it's because she's morning sick, like, you don't, pregnant or whatever.
Wait, by the way, you don't think that was really obvious?
If I didn't know, I think it's obvious. Because you and I know.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? I felt it was, like, obvious, but, like.
I agree.
Yeah.
I also think that this, it being 3 months later, kind of makes Dina kind of shitty. I don't know yet, because we have to, I think
choices
it makes her
shittier. Were made, right? Yeah. Choices were made.
Yes. So I don't know. We'll sort of see where that goes. I've seen a lot of people saying that this is like terrible, that Dina, this portrayal of Dina sucks now. And I'm like, I don't agree with that. But what I'm getting at here is I liked them showing up and they're just like on the road and they're like, what the fuck happened here? You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was great, because in the game, it's just a little bit different. And it works in the game. And I think it really works in the show. I like them camping. I like all of that stuff. I think is a really, really good way of taking a video game and turning it into, for television.
The Seraphite thing, I think it is pretty like on the nose, but like
it's heavy handed.
One of the things about that I think is interesting is they are creating sympathy with that side to begin with.
I would
with.
Agree. Because they do not do that in the game ever.
Right, because remember, and I think the cool moment in the game, which doesn't necessarily, I guess it would, but like it would be confusing. I wouldn't know if it'd be confusing or not. You could have done it. But like how the first time you hear the whistling as Ellie, you're like, the fuck is happening here?
When you get hit, you hear the whistling, and you're like, that's weird. Yeah. And then you get hit by the arrow and it's really loud.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
100%.
So I think that's a cool part, but I also think like it's going to be an interesting thing. And I don't know if it's a this season thing, because this season pretty much in my brain is they're going to still vilify the WLF as being the shitty people. And I guarantee you probably the next time we see Abby is going to be at the season finale.
I cannot disagree with you more.
Oh, you don't.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I could go either way on it. For me, I think if it's good, we will not see her until the season finale and she will have one line. Right. It'll be where she's like, you fucking wasted it. What? And then that's it.
Yeah.
That's if it's good. But I think that this show is like cannot contain itself, cannot contain its excitement to getting to the good stuff. It's like laying out the things that are good about this, and I think that we're going to see her, and I think that she's going to have scenes.
I mean, there's
stuff.
Four more episodes left, right?
I thought it was nine.
Seven.
Oh, it's seven?
Yeah.
The first season was nine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that actually changes my schedule a little
because,
bit.
Because to me, next episode is what it looked like from the preview is Ellie's going to get bit or whatever, because I don't think they're doing the thing.
School.
And she's going to get bit, and then Dina's going to see that and be like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And she's like, no, please don't. And I don't know how she's going to prove it or not, but whatever. And then you're also going to get a little bit of the introduction to what's the name of
Isaac,
the Isaac but stuff.
See, that's why I think we're going to get Abby, because
I
Ellie never meets Isaac.
Abby doesn't, right?
Ellie never meets Isaac.
I think, though, and I agree with that, but I think in this next episode, they're going to continue to create the WLF as being the bad guys. And they're going to make them to be evil and like just attacking people and doing this kind of stuff. So then next season, when Abby becomes the main character, you start to humanize the WLF and vilify the Seraphites, because they have to be the villain at the end of this, right? So I think I understand why. I do think it was a little heavy-handed with the whole kid thing, but I think that is meant to make us feel bad for these people. And I think it's meant to make us kind of not root for them, but like there are other people out in this world, and that the WLF are pieces of shit, because we're seeing it through Ellie's eyes. So I think that, again, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a choice that was made. We'll see how it plays out and what happens with it. But I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting, like how they set that up. And I do like, and it's weird that Ellie saw the kid and was like fucked up. And are they just doing that for later on when she kills Mel to like really?
Yeah, that 100%. I'm like that's why I'm like not about this Ellie interpretation, because it's just like I thought she's fine. Like, well, I guess
she's not. People, oh no, so she wasn't. Course, she wasn't fine killing the Mel.
No. I'm saying like in the game though, like. She'll I'll kill fucking anyone, doesn't matter who, you know what I mean? But then like I think you're right. I forget what I'm saying.
No, I'm never gonna forget. This is about
please do. the thing is, I liked this stuff in this episode that was like a interesting and new interpretation of the events. I don't like how heavy handed it is. I don't like that. I think the show doesn't trust you to get what it's about. But when it comes to like how do you interpret a game for television, I thought that this did a good job.
The last thing I want to think about here is when they have the porch scene, because if it's this season, like they are setting it up to be this season, because the amount of times they reference it and the amount of times they are like, because even like, I thought for the most part, I liked the first scene where Ellie's like playing the therapist a little bit. Except I wish he took a little bit more time to process some of that stuff and be a little bit more manipulative. But I kind of liked how it was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to say what you want me to say so I can fucking get out of here. I'm good. We're good. Fine.
Like, I did like that shot of her walking down the hallway, and as it gets like closer to her face and she is less put together. But
yeah. But like for.
It's so heavy handed about this porch thing. Like,
I think it's obvious.
Yes, and like, because it's the thing where like you would have never thought that she would go back to the porch, but then the therapist is like, "So did you go back to the porch?" And she's like, "Nope, I walked right past him," and it's like, "Okay, well now you've set up that this is, you know what I mean, like
that you've lied about it." But like, it's another like clue, and I think if you're saying the heavy-handed thing, like they could make one reference to it and it'd be fine, right?
I thought that's what they had done,
but like
where she just walked up and then she walked past him.
But
great.
But even like a reference, like they have the guitar reference that it's there. How did it get there? Then they have her talking about like being very defensive about going out with Joel.
Oh, with Joel, with Jesse.
In that
Gosh,
season, right?
I forgot about this.
And then they had at this episode, they again bring it back to it. So now
it's like four times in two episodes.
You have that like repetition to a certain point where like, whatever. I think going to the Dina stuff, I liked the tent scene. Can you remind me, in the video game?
Yes.
She is there to convince Ellie to go back, right?
Not explicitly. And see, this is what makes the video game so interesting, isn't it? There's a lot of subtext about it that she is like, I'm going to support you. But like secretly, it's like so that you don't kill yourself, so that I can bring you home. You know what I mean? And so that I can make sure that you're not here alone and increase your odds. But also like to let's kind of maybe, you know, maybe we find two of them and then we get kill them and then we're gone. You know what I mean? So yes, that is kind of how it is in the game, but it's never explicitly said.
Okay, because in this one, I kind of think in that tent, she's being a little shitty to Ellie.
Yeah, so this was another thing that I saw people talking about. And for me, it's like, the question is, this is like another one of those things, but like in this episode in isolation, sure, if this is all that it was, yes, this would be shitty. But like, we have to see where it goes. In terms of like, I saw a lot of people like upset about like, the fact that she is not bisexual in this portrayal. Have you seen this? And it's because she mentions like, oh, I'm just curious. And like, yeah, if this were the only scene, then I would be like, yeah, that kind of sucks that they changed that. But I'm like, well, her relationship with Ellie is going to evolve over the season. Like, guys, like there's a lot more Dina to come, you know? But I do think that by making there be this break, it does make Dina kind of shitty in that she hooks up with Ellie and then she goes back to Jesse and like, you know, in the 3 months that between Joel's death and them leaving, like, you know, she gets pregnant from him and maybe they break up, maybe they don't, but it's like this different portrayal of Dina and being with Jesse in the show. Whereas in the game, it's like very plausible that she was pregnant. She didn't know they broke up. Then they leave. And then she's like, fuck, I have morning sickness and I've missed my period. But like, on, you know what I mean?
On top of that though, like the one, yeah. I think that choice makes her seem like a worse character and a worse pair for Ellie in this.
Yeah.
The problem is the fact that she was in the room and was like part of this, even though she was knocked out, I think is more of a mental fuck for her. And the fact that they've made her relationship with Joel seemingly more significant in the TV show makes me feel like she had
weird,
I think I like that idea, but I think she's more fucked up than she potentially could have been in the game, where she's more about like, I like Joel, but like Ellie, I like you a lot. And I really am worried about you. In this one, she is someone who is going through a complex series of emotions. She can't go to Ellie and talk to her. Does she talk to Jesse about certain things? Maybe not about the WLF and stuff like that, but about like, what are we gonna do about Ellie? I'm sure they had those conversations, and I don't know if we're ever gonna see this, but I'm sure that led to them getting back together, comforting her. You know, like there's so many things that I think can kind of build to that. But again, in this tent, like it feels like she's playing with Ellie and not in a I like you kind of way.
It feels like she's been kind of like manipulative and shitty.
Right. I was doing that. I'm like, girl, like you are emotionally smarter than this. You know, this is fucking with this girl next to you. You can't do that to her. Why are you doing this to her?
And that's the thing too. It's like, and obviously we have still to see where the relationship goes.
Correct.
It's like, you know, if that kiss truly meant nothing to you, why would you tease this girl? Do you know what I mean? Who like clearly likes you, because that kiss did not mean nothing to her. Obviously, like, come on, dude.
Well, and she said it at the end with the whole like, I wasn't that high. Like, she tries to say that, but like, it doesn't matter because like,
she still were like teasing her.
right. Like, it like she had
and it's like clear that like, you know, they live in a world where like homophobia still exists. You know what I mean? People are still shitty to Ellie about this.
Yeah.
You know, like, why would you? Her friend and someone who she clearly likes continue to be shitty about it. I don't know.
Did you like the Seth addition?
Seth.
The racist.
No. The homophobe?
Yeah.
No, not really. My thing is,
nuanced.
It depends on where this goes. Did we talk last week about queerness in The Last of Us?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, like this idea that like they are face oppression when they are in society, but when they're in nature out naturally, there's nothing wrong. They're able to be who they are. And that, like, it's this idea that like hatred is something that is like man-made.
Just to be clear, I don't know if this was recorded or we just talked about it in the like hour after
that we talked after. There is the cliff notes is like Ellie and Dina are queer. Lev is queer, and they are able to be themselves and they're like express their true identities out in the wilderness. Ellie and Dina are able to be gay, free from bigotry. Lev is able to be a trans man, free from the bigotry of his culture. And like the interpretation that I have is that homophobia and bigotry and transphobia and all these things are a man or societal problem that don't exist outside of it's man-made. And that when queer people are able to be themselves in nature, there are no problems with it because it is something that is natural and good. And the problems that people have with it are entirely synthetic from inside the walls. And I think that The Last of Us season one reinforces that message with Bill and Frank. They are able to live their true lives away from the confines of like normal society, but it's because they're able to be out without having to face bigotry inside the walls of man-made construction, whatever. With this Seth guy vouching for Ellie, I do think there's an interesting layer that they mention about, like, you know, I think they mentioned this in the making of, the only time in the making of I'll give them fucking credit, where they say, like, you know, he's this bigoted person, but also like he recognizes that this thing that happened was fucked up, you know, and that supersedes his bigotry. And I have to see where what The Last of Us Part 2, Season 2 and 3 have to say about queerness to see what point is being made with him in that. So him helping, I initially am like, I don't really like. I think it's an interesting dynamic of having a person who is complicated, but I don't know.
I think I really liked the speech in the town hall meeting, and I really actually did enjoy the town hall meeting a lot. I thought they created the moral debate in a really interesting way. And I really liked how Ellie did her speech, how it was kind of like she read it and
just
like
a lie.
Yeah,
and I thought that was interesting.
It's a lie. It's premeditated because she's not a premeditated person to begin with. It is a lie, but it's also like you could tell she was kind of like feeling it as she was like going through it a little bit. And like
Jesse telling her to write it down.
Yeah. He's like I
fucking
thought
prepare.
That was a really interesting, which also makes me think that Jesse and it has already been thinking about her on this level a little bit. But I really liked his speech because a couple things. I thought it was an interesting like argument to make coming from his character. I think it was just like a good moment. I really liked that shot of him sitting down at the end while everyone stood up. I thought that was a really powerful shot that they did of him. Do you remember that? It was a very subtle thing. But also, is he a good guy? And I know we could answer it with this complicated, but he's kind of a shitbag. And for the shitbag to be the one supporting you and to be losing a 3-8 vote or whatever it was, like you are doing the unpopular thing and like accept help from whoever you want. And I know Dina was the one who kind of like had Seth be there. Like, I think it does kind of like really, it's highlighting in a more subtle way that you have chosen the wrong path by going about this. Like, these are the people who are helping you. You want these people to help you. You want to align yourself with these people who believe this thing about you. And I know it's complicated with the handshake and stuff like that she does with him, but like, fuck that. Like, you shaking his hand and accepting his help when you know what I mean? Like,
but this is why I'm saying, like, I don't know. I have to see where it goes because in the game, Ellie's like, fuck you. I'll take your sandwiches. I'm giving it to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, I just want this to be over because you are not a person that I want to ever associate with. And, you know.
But she does.
But like in the game, in the show,
yeah, in the show, she does. You know what I mean?
And he's a more nuanced character. But the question is, does him being a more nuanced character, like I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's an interesting choice.
I appreciate what you're saying too, and I like that as the interpretation of like who this guy is and what this guy sort of represents. But like, kind of fucked up person.
It was also interesting about him being injured and stuff like that, which I'd be interested to see what, like, they probably did that as a way to make him not go with them, because that would be a funny thing. You just have the third tag along that gets shot off, like, right away by, like,
he's just like, saying, like, all this, like, homophobic stuff while they're, like, riding around. It's like, I don't like it, but, you know what
I mean? But, like,
because I also appreciate that his argument is, like, bad. Not bad. I mean, that's my opinion, right? But, like, him saying, like, well, we're just gonna let anyone just come in here and do this. We gotta go fucking kill him. And it's like, well, Hold on.
I don't remember exactly what he says, but when Ellie's like, why are you here? And then he, like, Ellie, like, mentioned something and he says, well, you're talking about us. And like how he fed into that lie that she gave.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, again, just really just pushing the fact that, like, this is the wrong thing to do here. Like, I don't know.
And she manipulates him. Right.
Without
and
even knowing it, really, but like,
right. It doesn't feel like that was important. She was trying to lie to everyone to get them all manipulated, but he's the only one.
The only one who bought into him was that. I think it's interesting. I haven't really thought of The Last of Us through this lens. But like, I don't know. Like, I think it's interesting the queerness lens to specifically talking about Lev on that side of things.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I don't know if I've ever, like, analyzed Ellie's character in the part two from a queer lens before. Because I feel like so much of what's about to happen is more about the, like, the other themes of it as being, like, her story. And I wonder if they're still setting up for more of the Lev stuff with that rather than it being more of an Ellie story. But now when they're doing this stuff with her and Dina, it makes me think that it is a little bit about this, like, love story. And I think what if they get together in this next episode or something like that? And, like, actually, like, that's where they start, like, being closer with each other on a more emotional and physical level, which would make it more complicated when she gets bit, shot, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Choices are being made. Things are interesting.
This is the most nothing burger of a sentence of all time, but it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And what I said too at the top is, like, it is different. I like how it's done in the game more, but I appreciate the interpretation that went into this episode.
Yeah.
And all of that hinges on if it sticks the landing later down the road. Because obviously we know how The Last of Us Part 2 sticks the landing or doesn't stick the landing in some regards, like, whatever. We understand where it goes, but, like, with the show, we still have to see. And it's just going to be irritating because it's like, oh, we have to wait 3 years to see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, at what point can you start judging this for what it is? And I think you can judge the individual episodes for what they say and then also for what the entire thing says.
Yep.
But... so there you go. You know, we were only going to keep this, you know, 15 minutes or so, pretty short. We said we weren't going to, you know, talk for a whole hour again. So consider that promise kept.
I have about another more things in my head that I'd like to talk about too, but
I could talk about this forever.
I know.
I'll say this though. What I appreciate about talking with you is that, like, it does help me sort of, like, organize some of my thoughts a little bit more because I'm working on a video about all of this, but I want the show to be done for me to,
How can you, again, because choices have been made, but we don't. Yeah.
and it's like, you know, can you judge an episode? Yes, you can. Because the episode is a contained, you know, narrative, but at the end of the day, also, like, there was, like, a full season long thing, you know, but then also the question is, like, but then, like, it's actually been very interesting for me to, like, try and, like, conceptualize what consists of, like, a full work, because obviously the game is a full work, but the story of the show is encompassed in two seasons. So is one season not a full work? And I think it is. And I think a TV episode is a full work, but I want to wait until whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah, so just a quick little chat we had. We appreciate you for listening. We'll catch you next week talking about episode 4, the one where they kill Manny, probably. Although it's not Manny. It is Manny.
Are they going to kill Manny in that episode? They're going to kill him in that episode? I thought it was just going to be the Aha episode.
It'll definitely be the Aha episode. Do you think that Joel is going to, that she's going to, like, pick up the guitar and be like, oh shit, a guitar. And she's going to pick it up and be like, Joel taught me this song. And, like, that'll be the song?
No.
I think at this point in the season, you should not, if you're going to skip the guitar thing, just skip it.
No, she's going to sing Take On Me. She has to.
No, she will. I'm saying the Future Days song.
I think.
With Joel.
I think that might be. Ooh.
It feels like they're skipping it.
If they do, in fact, skip it, we can talk about it on our post thing, because I'll tell you where it should have happened and you can tell me where you think it should have happened, because it could have happened in this episode and been pretty perfect in this episode, in my humble opinion.
When she's in his house, right?
Before.
When?
Like, she's, like, thinking about him, and then, like, she, like, we see that the flashback about him, and then it cuts to him to her being in his house. Like you, like he just sang that song and it cuts to this empty house that she walks through. And you have the echoes of his song, Pedro Pascal singing that song, kind of like,
you're like cutting between just cutting her walking around the house.
I don't think the cutting, because I think the silence of her walking through the house was powerful, but it starts off before she gets into the house with the flashback of him teaching her guitar. And then, or playing the guitar for her, whatever it was. And then you have the moment of that happening. You have this sweet moment of remembering a positive thing, and then he's gone. Empty.
I would like that.
Silent.
I think that would be nice.
The creaking of her Converse on the wood floor, which I'm sure Joe would have fixed those creaks if he truly lived there.
I liked that when Dina's like, you're not wearing your fucking chucks. It's good. All right, I'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Fly, you fools.